Let us worship the Lord this evening by singing together the hymn 322, the hymn 322. I hear the Saviour say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. The hymn 322 will keep our seats while we worship the Lord. Let us just bow together in a word of prayer. Let us ask for the Lord's presence with us here this Sabbath evening. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we bow humbly in thy presence this evening. We recognize that as we come before thee, that we have no righteousness of our own. We recognize that by nature we were debtors to thee. We owed a great debt of obedience to thy law, a debt that we in ourselves could never pay. But we thank thee for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We rejoice that in Calvary's cross that he paid it all. He took my guilt. He bore my punishment. He paid the debt that I owed in full, leaving no sin. And Lord, we come this evening and we thank thee for so great salvation. We pray, Lord, that we might never lose sight of its greatness. We might never lose the joy of our salvation. But we cry to thee that thou wouldst help us to sing of it and to praise thy name for it. We thank you for each one in our gathering this evening, Lord, who have been to the cross. We recognize that our backgrounds may differ, and how thou didst deal with us may differ. But we rejoice that you brought each of us to the cross, and there our sins were washed away. Help us, O God, to praise thee and to serve thee with full hearts. We thank thee for the opportunity of gathering here this evening. Bless our worship. Close us in with thyself. Lord, let not the devil spoil the meeting or snatch away the good seed of the word. We pray that in every part of the meeting that we might know thy presence and thy help. We remember our sisters who will come even shortly to sing to us. We thank thee for the gifts you have given to them and their willingness to use them for thee. And we pray, Lord, bless them and speak to our hearts through those messages and song. As we read the scriptures, Lord, speak to us through them. Help us to expound thy word. We thank you, O God, for the going forth of thy precious word. We thank thee that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We thank thee for the privilege of gathering even this morning around thy word. We thank you, Lord, for this afternoon, the going forth of thy word there in that field. And we pray that it might bring faith, create faith in hearts. Lord, bless us here tonight, we ask of thee. Remember those tonight who mourn. We do remember the Reverend Malcolm Patterson, even at this time, and the loss of his mother. And we pray that you be with that family circle, even as they would take her to lay her to rest tomorrow, that they might know thy grace and thy help at this time. Lord, others tonight are sick, others who are mourning, we pray, draw near to them. Oh, how we rest upon the scripture, which reminds us that thy grace is sufficient. So, Lord, hear our prayer. Be with us here this evening. For we ask these things in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. Began to have even taken part from our own congregation this evening, the Walker Sisters, and we're going to ask them to come and bring their first messages in song at this stage.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due, sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, that sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. Oh, turn while the Savior in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbor light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? Oh, sinner, thine ears have been deaf to his voice, thine eyes to his glory been dim. The cross and thy Savior have so wearied thee. Oh, what if they should weary him? Oh, turn while the Savior in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbor light. For over the deadline tonight. Oh, sinner, the Spirit is striving with thee. What if you should strive never more, but be thee alone in thy darkness to dwell inside?
I'd like to thank our sisters very much for those messages in song. It was a message from the Lord. And if you know not Christ as Savior, that you tonight might steer for that harbor light, and that you might come to know Christ as your Redeemer. They're going to be singing to us a little later on again in the meeting. We're turning in our Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis, and to the chapter 40. The book of Genesis, the chapter 40. The 40th chapter of Genesis, and we're breaking in at the beginning of the chapter, Genesis chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said unto him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was all of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee." Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. At this stage, we're going to ask Mr. Todd to make the announcements for the incoming week.
Well, once again, good evening to everyone here assembled here in the building tonight. You're most welcome. See a few visitors with us. You're most welcome as you've joined with us tonight for our evening gospel service. A welcome to those online as well. And may the Lord bless both you and us here in the building as we listen to his word tonight, and may we know his presence with us. Just a few announcements for the incoming week. First of all, a notice from Mrs. Irwin about the Beeline Children's Meeting on Wednesday at 7 p.m. And that, of course, will be happening this Wednesday once again. The speaker this week will be the Reverend Murray. All boys and girls will be made most welcome at that meeting on Wednesday night. Meetings got off to a great start last Wednesday, and it was very special to see the boys and girls back in the church building once again. And Mrs. Irwin says, thank you very much for your prayers for the Beeline, and do continue to pray for those meetings. And a gift of £20 was gratefully received towards the work of the Beeline. As I announced this morning, Let the Bible Speak, we're supposed to record a couple of sessions this Thursday in the church. Many thanks to those who put their names on the list for that. However, due to insufficient numbers, LTBS have decided to cancel that meeting. Very unfortunate, but there just weren't enough for the recording for an audience. Instead, we will just have our normal midweek meeting on Thursday. So we're sticking with Thursday. This week it'll be on Thursday rather than Tuesday. And that'll be at 8 p.m. The minibus will be resuming its normal runs, bringing people to church on Sunday evening as well as Sunday morning, and also the midweek meeting. If you do wish transport to and from the church, please get in touch with our brother, Mr. Robert Russell. The Youth Fellowship will be meeting this Friday at 8 p.m., and Reverend Murray is the speaker this week. A word of thanks to Mr. George Walker for driving the minibus to Mulladlass last week. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday school will be at 10:30 a.m. and the services at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m., each preceded by our time of prayer. And the time of prayer will be in the committee room just before the services. On Sunday night, the Reverend Murray will be preaching away at a harvest service, so next Lord's Day evening will be the Reverend Leslie Curran along to give the word to us. Missionary Council are holding a missionary weekend conference from Friday the 19th of November to Sunday the 21st of November, and that's in Maharaboy House in Portrush. Booking forms are still available on the hall table, on the exit tables at the side doors as well. And if you do wish to attend that conference, do please lift one of those sheets, fill it in, and return it to the Reverend Park. And these are all the announcements. Thank you.
We thank our brother for making the announcements. We're going to sing just three verses of another hymn, the hymn 287, 287. Depths of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare? We're keeping our seats again while we sing. I'm going to ask our sisters to sing again to us.
Stood an old rugged cross, the emblem.
and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. In shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, when it's
thank you very much for that message and song, for drawing us to Calvary's cross. Of course, we're going to be losing Rebecca. She's heading away this Saturday for a year to Portugal in connection with her studies. And we want to assure you of our prayers. We'll miss you here, and we encourage the congregation to remember her as she settles into new surroundings there in the weeks that lie ahead. Let's just stand to our feet for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this evening that we have been drawn to Calvary's cross. We thank thee that our hearts have been warmed and blessed. We remember Rebecca. We pray that you'll be with her even as she heads away on Saturday. We pray, give her journeying mercies, help her to settle into that new environment. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst bless her witness there for thee, and be with the family. They'll miss her as well, and undertake for them. Thank thee for the word of God, and we pray, Lord, now that as we turn to it, take away every distracting thought, may we hear thee speaking to our hearts, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. We're turning to the portion of the word of God that we read together, the book of Genesis, the chapter 40. I want to draw your attention to that chapter, but we'll read again just to refresh your memory. We'll read again the first two verses, Genesis chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. We live in a world where the term discrimination is lightly bandied about. Surely if anyone knew what it was to be discriminated against or unfairly treated, it was Joseph. Being misrepresented and lied against, he quickly discovered there was but a small step between the palace and the prison. Yet despite being thrust into the squalor of a filthy prison cell, and surrounded by darkness and depravity. He refused to live like those around him. Doing that which was right, the captain of the guard eventually gave him charge over Pharaoh's former baker and butler. He quickly growing in their esteem, they unable to understand the dreams he had in the darkness of the night. They finally unburdened themselves to Joseph. And revealing to them the meaning of their dream, Joseph told them that within 3 days that they would be summoned to stand before the great and the mighty Pharaoh. Kneeling down before him, one of them would be released. Being restored to his former position, the other would be sentenced to death. Being taken out, he would be hung by the neck until he was dead. One of them would be released. The other would be put to death. And like these two men, all men, one day will be summoned to stand, not before Pharaoh, but to stand before the King of Kings, there to be sentenced either to eternal life or to eternal destruction. Indeed, reminding the Hebrew converts of this, Paul said in Hebrews 9:27, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You notice that there is not a full stop after the word death, but simply a comma. And by such he was reminding them that death was not the end. It was but the stepping stone that would bring them to the judgment seat. You see, tonight you not only have an appointment with death, but you have an appointment after death. You must one day stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There your life being revealed, be sentenced to either eternal life or to eternal death. And I wonder tonight, what thought have you given to that day? What preparation have you made for that moment when you leave this world, and leaving this world, you stand before God, there to be sentenced either to eternal life or eternal death? And so I want tonight to draw your attention to these two men, the butler and the baker. I want you firstly to notice their offense. Earlier, beholding these men, Pharaoh had exalted them, lifting them to the heights of their profession. He had heaped honor after honor upon them. However, they finally, forgetting their place, they fail. You notice here their condemnation. Recording their offense, we read in verse 2, "And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers, and against the chief of the bakers." Down through the centuries, much speculation has risen concerning the nature of their offense. Some historians believe that conspiring together, that they had sought to assassinate the mighty Pharaoh. Others, minimizing their crime, insist that their offense was nothing more in the butler's case than allowing a fly to land upon Pharaoh's cup, and in the baker's case, allowing a little bit of sand to fall upon his bread. But whatever the nature of their offense, we are told in verse 1 that Pharaoh was offended. The word offended there is translated scores of times in the pages of the Old Testament as sin. In other words, though their offense or sin was small, we're told here that Pharaoh was wroth. He was angry with them because of their actions and because of their deeds. You see, tonight, whether our offense or sin may be great or small, it is still serious. It stirs the wrath of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Indeed, the psalmist, beholding the presence of sin, he said in Psalm 7 in the verse 11, "God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready." Notice that not only was the bow of his wrath already bent, But the word anger here is exceedingly strong. It literally means to foam at the mouth. You see, unlike the anger of men, which eventually, with the passing of time, lessens, we see here that the Lord, seeing his sin, he was angry with them every hour of every day. You see, sin, rather than amusing the God of heaven, it angers him, it stirs his wrath. The great Bible commentator Matthew Henry said, sinners willfully lose God for a friend. You see, when sin comes in, the friendship of God goes out. The great French statesman Charles de Gaulle, who led the French in the Second World War against Nazism, once said, when I am right, I get angry. Churchill gets angry when he is wrong. So we are very often angry at each other. And you see, my friend, when you tonight get it wrong, when you tonight offend against the God of heaven, God is angry. He is angry with your sin. Have you ever lit a bonfire in the backyard? And maybe it hasn't gone very well, and sometimes in life we do foolish things. And maybe you've taken out a little bit of petrol and you've thrown it onto the fire, and suddenly the flames just gush away up. But they suddenly go down as quick as they rose. But you know, tonight, in contrast, the anger of God never dies down. He is angry with men because of their sin every hour of every single day. You may say, preacher, tonight, but my sin is small, and my sin is exceedingly small in comparison with the sins and the wickedness of the age in which we live. And yes, your sin may to you seem insignificant, but my friend, sin, no matter its nature, it angers God. And just as Pharaoh was angry with these men because of their offense, so tonight as you stand before God, God is angry. He's angry because of your rebellion. He's angry because you've broken his commandments. He is angry because you have gone your own way. You see, like these men, you are on dangerous ground. But not only their condemnation, but notice their confinement, stirring up Pharaoh's indignation. We read in verse 3, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison where the place where Joseph was bound. Becoming angry with them, Pharaoh took away the privileges of their rank, demoting them. He cast them into prison. And you notice here that it was the prison where Joseph was. When we go back into the previous chapter, we discover in verse 20, it was a place not only where Joseph was bound, but it was a place where all the king's prisoners were bound. And as such, these men being brought and threw into this dungeon, their hands and their feet were bound. In that moment, their liberty was taken away. And you see, corruption, whatever its nature, eventually leads to confinement. It not only bruises the soul, but it binds the soul. Indeed, in the New Testament, Simon the sorcerer, seeking to buy the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Peter rebuking him, he said in Acts chapter 8 and verse 23, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Or it can be translated in the bondage of iniquity. And we discover here that this man's greed and this man's my bitterness bound him. It so bound him that it was all that he could think about and all that he could do. You see, as well as bringing bitterness, sin brings bondage. It binds the soul. Samuel Johnson said, the chains of habits are too weak to be felt, until they're too strong to be broken. I often think of Samson entering into an unequal yoke. He suddenly found himself bound with green cords. And breaking those cords, his enemies then bound him with seven green wools which had not been dried. And breaking them, they then bound him with ropes. But while he broke the ropes, eventually being bound with chains of brass, he could no longer break them. And you see, my friend, tonight, you may break those chains of sin at first. You may be able to control a life of stealing. You may be able to control your lies. You may be able to control those sins, whatever those sins may be. But listen, listen, the day will come when instead of you controlling them, they will control you. You don't need me to prove that tonight. You lift your eyes, look across society. How many are bound by gambling? They can't give it up. How many tonight are bound by alcohol? They live just for their next drink. How many there are tonight, and they can't, tell you a story without my blaspheming. They can't, communicate without lying. And there was a time in their life when they were able to control those sins, but they can no longer control them. Go on in your sin. Go on rejecting the gospel. And my friend, they will bind you. They will bind you. Not only their confinement, but notice their countenance. Looking on the butler and the baker, Joseph said, verse 7, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" While the baker had reason to look sad, the butler had none. Falling asleep, he saw in his dream a vine blossoming, bringing forth grapes, he squeezing them into the king's cup. They predicted his deliverance, and yet he was still sad. Why? Because his heart deceived him into thinking that this dream must be bad news. You see, this evening, your heart is not only out to defile you, but your heart is out to deceive you. It wants to convince you this evening that there is no hope. Indeed, setting forth the character of the heart, the prophet said in Jeremiah 17, in the verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it?" And you'll notice here that he didn't say that their hearts were more deceitful than their eyes or their tongues, but he said their hearts were more deceitful above all things. Their hearts were more deceitful than even the devil. You see, the heart is only corrupt. The heart is cunning. And if it cannot deceive you into thinking that you are holy, then your heart will seek to deceive you into thinking that there is no hope. The great Puritan writer Thomas Watson said, "Despair cuts the sinews of endeavor." You see, if only the devil can get you to despair, if only the devil can get you into thinking that there is no hope for your soul, then he has won the battle. Because you'll never seek God, you'll never seek salvation. Just as this butler had no reason to be sad, I say to you tonight, you have no reason to be sad. Christ is able to save you. Christ is able to break the chains that bind you. Christ is able tonight to set you free. You see, these men had offended the king. And you know, tonight, if you're honest, you'll admit that you have also offended the King of Kings. But I think we not only notice their offense, but I want you to notice their offering. Pharaoh's birthday drawing nigh, he wishing to encourage his servants and at the same time send out a warning. He summoned the baker and the butler to be brought before him. And coming in, laden down with gifts in their hands, You notice the works that the baker presented. Coming before the king with three baskets, we read in verse 17. And in the uppermost basket, there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. The historian Josephus tells us that two of these baskets were full of bread, and the third had various sorts of food. And of course, being a baker, these things were the fruit or of his own hands or of his own labor. And placing them upon his head, we're told in verse 16 that they were white baskets, or as it could be rendered, baskets full of holes. That which did not fall out of the basket was packed by the birds, and being defiled, the king, rather than being pleased, he commanded him to be taken out and to be hanged. You see, Pharaoh had no pleasure in the works of this man's hands. And our works being defiled, God has no pleasure in them. They bring his fury rather than his forgiveness. Indeed, Cain, coming to worship the Lord, he brought up the fruit of the ground. Being a tiller of the ground, he was bringing up that which came as a result of his plowing, his planting, and his picking. And it being the fruit of his own labors, we read in Genesis chapter 4 in the verse 5, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." And can't you see Cain coming up before the Lord, presenting the works of his own hands? There was almost a smile hidden behind there. He thought that God would be pleased, but instead God was wroth. You see, our works, unlike Christ's works, work is not good. In fact, our works are not even partly good, but they are wholly evil. Mr. McLaren and Mr. Gustart were both ministers of Tolbert Church in Edinburgh. When Mr. McLaren was dying, Mr. Gustart asked him what he was doing. Mr. McLaren said, "I tell you what I'm doing, brother. I am gathering together all my prayers, all my sermons, all my good deeds, all my evil deeds, and I am going to throw them all overboard and swim to glory on the plank of free grace." And I say to you tonight that you might as well take your good works and cast them overboard, because, my friend, those works coming out of a heart that is defiled, coming out of a heart that is being polluted, they are polluted before God. And as Pharaoh had no pleasure in the works of this baker, so Christ, looking down tonight, he has no pleasure in your good works. He has no pleasure in them. Not only do we see the work the baker presented, but notice the wine the butler presented. In verse 11 we read, "And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." Unlike the baker, the butler coming before Pharaoh, he brought the fruit of that which he had not planted nor had grown. And taking these grapes, he squeezed their blood-red juice into the king's cup. Of course, the Lord himself, speaking of the juice of the vine, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." It speaks to us of the blood of Jesus Christ. And as if to emphasize that, he said that he would be raised up on the third day, which reminds us of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my, this man coming before the Pharaoh, presenting that which represented the Savior's blood. In resurrection, he was forgiven and exalted. You see, if we're not to be rejected before God, but accepted. We must bring not the works of our hands, but the work of his hands. We must come presenting his precious blood. Indeed, Paul, taking up his pen, he said in Romans 5, verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And you notice here that he reminded them that they were justified not by their church attendance. They were justified not by the good things that they had done, but they were justified through the blood or through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, forgiveness and acceptance comes not through our sacrifices, but through Christ's sacrifice. It is his death alone that is able to bring forgiveness and pardon. Daniel Whittle, taking up his pen, he wrote, it is his word, God's precious word. It stands forever true. When I, the Lord, shall see the blood, I will pass over you. And you know this evening, if you're to escape the wrath of God, you need to place your trust not in a man, not in a church, not in works that you can do, but, my friend, upon the work of Christ. You need to come to him. You need to trust him as your Savior and your Redeemer. This man might resting. He was set free. Not only the wine the butler presented, but notice the way they both presented. Look at verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. In contrast to the baker, the butler did not bring his offering. The butler did not bring his offering upon his head, but he brought his offering in a cup. In the 23rd Psalm, we discover there that the cup speaks to us of the heart. You see, tonight it is a religion. It is a religion of the heart rather than a religion of the mind that saves. There needs to be a resting only and wholly upon Christ. Many today, and you know they have it up in their head. They have it in their mind. My, if you were to talk to them, they would say, preacher, I know that I'm a sinner before God. I know that Christ died on the cross to save me from my sin. I know that he is willing to forgive me, and I know that he's willing to take me to heaven. But my friend, that's as far as it ever goes. It's just a religion of the head, a religion of the mind. But if you're to be saved, you need to rest upon Christ. You need to trust him with your heart. You need to reach out and take him as your Savior. My two men, both condemned, but one was set free. And praise God, tonight through the death of Christ, there is forgiveness. But lastly, I want you to notice here not just their offense and their offering, but I want you to notice their orders. Commanding the baker to be executed, Pharaoh then commanded the butler to be exalted. In so doing, notice the station he received in verse 21. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. The butler presenting the blood-red juice of the vine, he was immediately released. And raising him up, Pharaoh then restored him to his former position. He gave back to him all the privileges that he had earlier lost. And through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is not only remission, but there is restoration. That which was lost through sin is restored. You see, tonight, if only you seek the Lord, if only you trust him as your Savior, he will give you back the peace that once you enjoyed. He'll give you back the joy that once you had. He gave to you the assurance. This man received his former position. And if only you come to Christ, the Lord will raise you up. May he give you back the things that sin robbed you of. He gave you back the peace and joy that once you may have had. Not only the station he received, but notice the service he restored. The butler's job was very simple. It was to serve the wine. And in being the chief butler, his job would have been to serve not only Pharaoh, but also to serve others. And being restored to his position, there was then a serving of the wine. You see, being saved by the gospel, there must then be a sharing of the gospel, a presenting of it unto others. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ in speaking to his disciples. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Oh, my friend, tonight, will you not come to Christ? Will you not trust him as your Savior? Will you not know his forgiveness? And then go forth to tell a world that's perishing that the Christ who saved you is able to save them. And the peace that you have, they can enjoy. But not only the service he restored, but notice the summons he received. Joseph said in verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee. And sending out the butler, Joseph told him he was to think on him. However, we discover that he going back to the king's palace, being exalted to his position, that he forgot. He forgot about Joseph. And maybe you say, preacher, tonight, how could he do that? My, Joseph was a friend to him in his time of need. Joseph had spoken to him. How could he forget him? And sadly tonight, are there not many like this butler? They have known the mercy of God. They have known God's forgiveness. But they have forgotten about Joseph. Or they have forgotten about Christ. They've got so caught up in this world, so caught up in the things of time, that they have forgotten the Savior. And I wonder tonight, is that a picture even of you? There was a time you came to the cross. There was a time that you knew the forgiveness of sins. There was a time when the joy of Christ filled your heart. But listen, my friend, you've forgotten him. You've been so busy with this and so busy with that God and Christ has been driven out of your heart and driven out of your life. And I say to you tonight, is it not time? Is it not time for you to remember him? Is it not time for you to begin again to serve him? Two men, a baker and a butler. Both of them offended the king. I don't think that their offense was that great. It was probably a misdemeanor. But the king was wroth. And they were under judgment. But one of them was forgiven. And the other being taken out, he experienced the wrath of the king. And his life was brought to an end. And my friend, as we gather in this place tonight, I have to say to you tonight, you're either a baker or a butler in that sense. You've broken the law of God. You know that you're under his wrath. And Christ draws near, willing to forgive. But I wonder tonight, will you let him into your heart? Will you experience his love and know his grace? Or will you go on in your sin, harden your heart, then in that day to be cast out and lost for all eternity? Oh, tonight I trust that this evening that you might seek him and know his forgiveness and his love and his mercy. Amen. We're going to close our service tonight by singing the hymn 236, Out of Christ without a Savior. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? The hymn 236, we're keeping our seats, singing just the first three verses. Our Father in heaven, we cry to thee, if there be those who are out in the stormy sea of life without a refuge, that thou wouldst make them to realize their danger. And oh, this evening, that they might see thee as the only refuge, and that tonight that they might rest upon thee and know thy forgiveness. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst part us with thy blessing. Help us who are redeemed to rejoice in our salvation. Help us never to forget our Redeemer, but help us, Lord, to keep him in mind and to serve him with full hearts. Part us even now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory.